Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Your child has an ear infection, as so many of our children do, and this is the time of year they're going to start to get them. Do you watch and wait? Do you call your pediatrician? Do you use the drops? What do you do? Every parent goes through this. My guest, Dr. David Hill, Vice President of Cape Fear Pediatrics in Wilmington, North Carolina, is going to fill us in on what we can do. So, Dr. Hill, when we first start noticing our children pulling at their ears or holding their hand up, or an older child screaming in pain from these ear infections up at night, when do we call the doctor? When do we watch and wait?
You bet. You know, calling the doctor is never the wrong thing to do for these things. If your child has a fever especially, or has had a cold for several days, or is in a lot of pain, you know, go ahead and call and seek care if you need to. It's never wrong to get information.
And what if, like, every time, you know, and not bashing any pediatricians, but what if every time they're like, well, you got to bring them in. You got to bring them in. And you know it's an ear infection, and that they're just going to tell you for your copay to watch and wait.
Well, it depends. First of all, on the age of the child. Above age 2, we often do say watch and wait. However, that decision is based on a lot of information. How long has the child been sick? What else is going on? And most importantly, what do we see when we look in that ear? A particularly complicated or severe ear infection, we may not say watch and wait. If it's been going on for a few days, we may want to treat. If there's evidence of pneumonia or a sinus infection, we're very likely to treat. Under age 2, if there's a real ear infection going on, we almost always treat. The reason we need parents to come in is until we look at that eardrum ourselves, we can't tell you what's going on. I get surprised all the time by kids who seem to be in a lot of pain and have gorgeous-looking ears, or kids who aren't complaining at all and got a huge pus ball in there.
Well, I have one of each of those, and my son doesn't even tell me till he's practically bleeding out of his ear, and we go in there and they're like, wow, it's raging in both ears. Now, do we as parents learn how to look in the ear to see? To save our, I mean, you know, we all kind of look down the throat to see if there's the white dots for strep. Do we learn to look in the ear and see if we see any green goo?
Right, and they sell those little, you know, parent handheld ear kits, right?
Yep.
I got to tell you, though, in pediatric residency, when I've got an intern, somebody who's already finished medical school, I don't trust their ear exam for about 2 years. To really know what you're looking at an ear, it takes looking at thousands of normal, slightly abnormal, very abnormal ears, looking around corners, looking around wax balls. Even our new partners in the practice, people that we bring on out of complete three-year pediatric residencies, will often grab a senior MD sometimes if they have a question about what they're looking at. So, you can get that thing, but until you've looked at several thousand, there's a lot of subtleties you're very likely to miss.
I can see that because it is really hard to tell. And I thought I'm pretty good at it sometimes, but it's pretty hard to see what you're looking at because earwax looks one way and maybe it's yellow, but that doesn't mean anything. So what is the typical treatment that you do? You do an antibiotic. Do we use those numbing drops?
Yeah, we love numbing drops for pain from middle ear infections. And I want to clarify, when you're talking ear infections, there are really two big parts of the ear that can get infected. Swimmer's ear affects the outer part of the ear, everything from the hole down to the eardrum. Whereas a middle ear infection, pseudotitis media, affects the chamber that's behind the eardrum, inside the head. And you treat those very differently. Swimmer's ear is often treated with antibiotic drops. Sometimes you don't even need those. Whereas a middle ear infection, when you treat it, is always treated with systemic antibiotic, usually one that you take by mouth, but occasionally even an injected antibiotic, a shot.
Okay, so we have the antibiotics. Is there a way, Dr. Hill, to prevent ear infections from beginning?
There are several great ways to prevent ear infections. While we're talking about middle ear infections, you can start by nursing your child rather than formula feeding. Nursed children are a little less given to upper respiratory infections in general. Kids who go to daycare, as useful as that can be, also get more colds and more ear infections. So if you have an option to have your child in a smaller, more intimate environment or in the home, that can make a big difference. Not smoking is huge. Kids who are exposed to cigarette smoke, especially in the home, have a lot more ear infections and other upper respiratory infections as well.
Okay, so we want to make sure, of course, you can start with breastfeeding. Does washing your hands regularly, that's sort of the things that help prevent colds and flu?
Yeah, you bet, because colds and flu lead to ear infections in a lot of cases. So getting your kid fully immunized on time, especially in the flu season, but also against other things like Haemophilus influenza B and strep pneumonia, those are other immunizations that protect children against ear infections. And yes, good hand washing and good hygiene are great ways to keep your kids safe.
Well, at this time of the year, you know, our kids are home from school. They get sick so easily at the beginning of the school year. When a child comes down with a cold, Dr. Hill, are there certain kids more susceptible to ear infections? So if you know your child's one of those kids, he gets a cold, they're going to get an ear infection. Do we take them to the doctor just knowing it's going to happen?
You know, there's really no point in taking them until they have symptoms. Until the infection's there, there's nothing there to treat. So you do want to wait until there are signs of pain or discomfort or fever or a cold that's been going on a little too long, which I would think of as about 14 days or so. So, you don't want to bring them in too early, but as soon as those symptoms are present, if your kid's one of those who gets a lot of infections, you may as well take them in.
And how many ear infections a year would you say a child should get before you start seeing an ENT and maybe look at some kinds of treatments?
Most people would say about 3 separate or recurrent ear infections within a 6-month period, or 6 within a 12-month period would be a good reason to ask for an ear, nose, and throat surgeon's advice. Not all of those kids necessarily are going to need ear tubes, but it's not a bad time to ask an ENT specialist what they think might be appropriate.
And then ear tubes, they're something that's just a temporary situation till the child grows up and grows a little bit and then the tubes are open enough?
Yeah, that's almost always the case. The high season for ear infections is from around age 6 to 9 months until around age 18 to 24 months. And as kids get older than that, their rates of ear infections tend to drop off. That's because the eustachian tube gets bigger and drains fluid out of the ear better. So those are times that you may need to protect a child with pressure equalization or ear tubes. And then later on, often those tubes will fall out on their own or they'll be taken out, and children will do great after that.
And last question going here, what about home remedies? Is there a way we can help our children? You know, my mother used to use the warm cloth or have me lie on one side or, you know, is there some remedies you like that parents can help ease the pain?
You know, aside from just good old-fashioned ibuprofen or acetaminophen, we have patients here who will use a heavy cooking oil like olive oil in the ear. I don't know that there are any scientific studies on that, but it is harmless, and it does seem to make some children feel better. I also hear some parents who say you should blow cigarette smoke in a child's ear.
Yikes.
Don't do that.
No.
That's probably what gave them the ear infection in the first place.
Wow. Well, that's certainly, you know, you've given us such great advice today. Thank you so much, Dr. David Hill. Remember, you can listen anytime, on demand or on the go, at RadioMD.com. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD. Stay well.